hallelujah, hear your presence.
Let it rain.
Oh, your rain. Let it fall on us.
Over this assembly right now, let there be illumination of your light by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let your word come out with anointing and with grace, and let the word be sown unto further grants of the heart of your people, and let bring forth profit and fruit. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we are praying. Let's put hands together for the Lord. Amen. I want to bless the name of the Lord this morning. I am glad to stand before the congregation of his people once again and to conclude the series which I started some time ago. We have taken part one, we have taken part two, we are taking part three. I am talking about the series on fraction of success. And remember that we told ourselves, taking a text from Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 to 20, and maybe we should read it again. The series is on fraction of success. And to remind ourselves, let's go back to our text, Matthew chapter 4, starting from verse 18 through 20. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Verse 20 is the last verse. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. I did tell you that God is in the business of making people, and that nobody can make it on his own except it's made by the Lord. And everybody needs to be made. And it doesn't matter who you are. It does not matter where you come from. It does not matter your background. You follow the right person. You follow the right man. You follow the right path. You will be made. It's only those who follow the wrong person that get into the trouble or they follow the wrong path. Remember that God is God that is the process of lifting his people. He transformed lives. He called Peter, who was a fisherman, to follow him. Until today, we are still talking about Peter. If Peter had remained a fisherman, he would have died in the region of Galilee. He would have been long buried. I want to remind you that our God, he creates great things out of nothingness. He built a great edifice out of the ashes of nothingness. And therefore, God is interested in actually making you. But I said there are three things. For you to be made, you need to be what? To be trained. You need to be what? To be tested. And you need to be what? You need to be trusted. Now, I want to go further this morning to now conclude the message. But I want to have this at the back of your mind, that as long as you follow the right path, the Lord is in the process of making you. The Lord is in the process of making sure that you make it. Who do we call the father of faith today? Abraham. Am I right? And we keep on singing, and I like sing that song again. Abraham, blessings are mine. Abraham, blessings are mine. I am blessed in the morning, in the noon, in the evening. Abraham, blessings are mine. But Abraham did not just become a blessing. He became a blessing because he followed the right path. He was a man that was picked out of the land of Gentiles from the present-day Iraq and was made to become progenitors of the people of God in Israel. Can you imagine? From Iraq, he became the progenitor of the Israelites and all the spiritual Israelites. Where he came from does not matter. How many of us bother where he came from again? We don't bother. Why? Because he followed the right path. He followed the right mentor. And in concluding this, I want to ask one question. If you have to be trained, and training prepares the ground for experience, for testing, and prepare the foundation for the referral of being trusted, who are your teachers? Who are your teachers? Who teaches you? And the kind of training institution or an establishment where you receive your training impact on your destiny. The fact that we have to be trained, we have to be careful where we are trained and who we submit to. And my text this morning, I'm going to take from 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to read two verses there. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 to 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto Phoebus. Being taught, being trained, being mentor is very important. But the Bible is telling us that there are different kinds of trainers, teachers. And if you are fed with poison, then you cannot have the good results. I want us to read that passage in Amplified Version. Let's go to Amplified Version and read it, the 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 to 4 in Amplified Version. Say, for the time is coming when people will not tolerate, and in bracket, or endure sound and awesome instruction. I like that word. Sound and what? Wholesome instruction. If you have to be trained, train where you can have sound and awesome instruction. Not fables, nothing that tinkles your fancy. People will not tolerate or endure sound and awesome instruction, but having itching ears for something pleasing and gratifying. They want to hear things, they will all begin to shout, they begin to clap, and there's no substance. They jump, they dance, they marry, but there's no deposit. And if they go through that for years upon years, they still remain empty barrel. For they will gather to themselves one teacher after another to a considerable number. There are many people today who jump from one church to another, from one sanctuary to another, from one assembly to another, anywhere they can hear things that will tinkle their ears. Bible says they will gather teachers one after another, chosen to satisfy their own what? Liking. They are not actually being interested in being properly groomed, but something that will go along with their own emotions and to foster the error that they hold. So I want to ask this morning, who are your teachers? And who are your mentors? If you go to the book of Acts of Apostles, chapter 17, verse 19, this was also crisply stated by Paul. You can just use that one, King James, go to King James. Look at Acts of Apostles, chapter 17, verse 17 to 19. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine, wherefore thou speakest. And verse 20, I'm going to verse 21. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We will know, therefore, that this thing, what these things mean. Verse 21. For the Athenians and the strangers which were there spent their time in nothingness. What a very terrible testimony. The only thing the people in Athens spend their time on is on nothing but either to tell or to hear some new things. Many of us today, we are set on the road to Athens just to hear and to listen to new things. And we don't want, as Axa said, what is the substance? We don't ask ourselves, are there things that build? Are there things that foster growth? Are those things that impact on our destiny? Are there things that can make us to actually become what God wants us to be? So the first thing I want us to know this morning, that you have to be very, very careful where you receive your training and who your teachers are and who your mentors are. Otherwise, you begin to build with materials that are contaminated, and you build an edifice of falsehood in life. So the first thing you have to know, that there are different kinds of trainers, teachers, and mentors. And the second thing which I want to talk about this morning is that in trying to build success, first of all, build a story. Don't be eager to build success without actually building a story. A story must precede the success. When I hear testimony these days, the first thing I ask myself, what is the story behind this testimony? Somebody has just traveled out of the country. He comes back after 2 years. He built new houses. He bought 3 different kind of cars. He established a company and comes to give the testimony, God has blessed me. How did God do it? You don't want to know. Don't celebrate success without a story. Every enduring success must have a credible story. Not only must a success have a story, the story must be credible. I will give you a typical example in the Bible of how your success, where you are, people must be able to trace where you are coming from. You don't just come to tell us, this is where God has put me, but where are you coming from and how did you get to where you are? When you see Yahoo Boys, Yahoo Plus, what they have to show is success. The story is kept. They can put up a font. They can open maybe a small shop, they put as the font. But Yahoo is their business. You see them riding fanciful cars. You see them wearing gold chains, gold wristwatches, fanciful and beautiful, attractive shoes, imported dresses. And people begin to want to believe, they want to follow them and follow after them without asking, what is the story? If you look at Acts of Apostles chapter 22, let's start from verse 3. I may not want to read everything because of my time, but if you get home, I want to read to verse 10 so that I can get the story very well. I am verily a man, which I am, a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward the God as he all at this day. Go on. Maybe let me see if I can quickly go through. Verse 4. And I persecuted this way unto the dead, binding and delivering into prison both men and women. Verse 5. As also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were bound into Jerusalem for to be punished. Verse 6. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come near unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. Verse 7. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice say unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Verse 8. And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, who thou persecutest. Verse 9. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they had not the voice, him that spoke to me. Verse 10. I'm going to stop there. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go to Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. Paul stood and told his story. That before Paul the apostle, there was Saul of Tarsus. Before Paul the merry worker, there was Saul the murderer. And it took them the process of transformation, step by step, and calling witnesses. Do you see that? Calling witnesses at every stage, this and this. So, when you want to emulate success of people, first of all, find out their story. Before David the king, there was a small boy, the shepherd. Before Esther the queen, there was an orphan. Before Jesus the Messiah, there was a boy, the carpenter. So, spend time to build your story behind a success. Don't always think you want to build a success story. You want to be a successful life. Build a story to back the success. So anybody you want to emulate, anybody you want to follow, anybody you want to set as example, always try to find out what the story behind it. Is it a story you would like to replicate? You want to replicate people's successes without asking their stories. And that's where people go into error. Seven sons of Sceva, they saw Paul the apostle with anointing, rebuking the devil without knowing his story. They now went before the demon, say, in the name of Jesus, Jesus, that Paul preached, we rebuke you. And the devil say, Paul, I know. And I know his story. He metamorphosed from Saul of Tarsus to Paul the apostle. Jesus, I know, he rose from being a human being that came in the flesh to manifest the divinity of God. But who are you? You only see their story. You only see their success. You only see their glory. And you want to have it, but you have no story. And he tore their dresses. The Bible says they came out naked. My brother and my dear sister, spend time to build your story. And let the story be credible. Let the story have witnesses. So that when you get to where God is taking you, you can point along the line. This and this and this are the witnesses. You can stand before God. You can stand before man. There is a young man. A young Nigerian. Most of us, you know this story. He was on Forbes' list at the age of 28. And he became an instant celebrity. Worldwide. He received award as one of the youngest African entrepreneurs. And everybody wanted to be like him. Every young man was, a man at 28 was on Forbes' list. 3 years after, he was arrested as a fraudster by, not in Nigeria, FBI in America. And the first time they charged him to court, $11 million fraud was the first thing they brought before him. And many people before that time were celebrating him, wanted to be like him, wanted to emulate him. They didn't ask him his story. When did he start the business? Where did he get the initial capital? What are the kind of business he's doing that within that short time When did he leave the university? When did he finish his training? Where did he gather the experience? Where are those referrers? Nobody bothered. Eventually, he had a success. Where I studied. What happens? I'm sure many of you know what I'm talking about. It's all, if you don't know, go and Google it on the internet. So what am I saying this morning? Before you think about success, think about what is the story. And number three, because of my time this morning, I want to admonish you, benchmark any training you are receiving with the standard of the world. Any training, any experience, any reference, you must benchmark with the standard of the world. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Quickly, just one verse. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Let's read it quickly. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall also be teachers, as there shall be also be false teachers among you. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. It doesn't just start today. It didn't start yesterday. It has been there all along. Paul said, look, my friend, let me tell you something. Even in those days, there were false prophets. And I want to declare to you, they are shabby. Shah. If you ask the lawyer, they want to talk of shah. That means it is final. It's bound to happen. You cannot dispute it. There's nothing you can do about it. There shall be false teachers also among you. Because even before now, there were false prophets among you. And therefore, it's not any kind of training you can really say you are taking and you take hook, line, and sinker. Anywhere you are being trained, benchmark with the word of God. Even when I stand here to preach to you, go and check whether what I'm saying has a reference to the Bible in the word of God or not. You must benchmark whatever training you are being given with the word of God. Otherwise, there are so many people who are producing a lot of, how do I really describe it now? Poisons, and unleashing them into the society as disciples. Multiplying error and giving people false impression. And they are going forward with false confidence. Why? Because while they are being trained, they refuse or they did not benchmark whatever they are being fed with the standard of the world. Let me tell you, Bible does not change and can never change. Dispensation can change. Society can change. Technology can change, but the word of God remains the same. So anybody who is your mentor, who is your trainer, whatever kind of training you are receiving, benchmark with the word of God. Otherwise, you will know when you are just the difference between following God and following man. You will know the difference between following a man of God or following a God of men. You will know where you are in the will of God or you are in the arena of the wishes of man. Always make sure you benchmark the word you hear, the training you receive with the standard. And when you find that it conflicts with the word, with the tenet of the Bible, go and be bold enough to meet your trainer, your mentor, or teacher, sir. This thing that you said, I have gone through, by my own understanding, I don't think it is right, sir. Can we look at it again at the Bible? Do not be like Berean Christian. Am I right? What did Paul say about them? Said they are more noble than the people in Thessalonica. Why? Because whatever Paul told them, they go back and cross-check and be sure that it's actually true. But many of our young men are too lazy. And that's why people are taking advantage of you. Anybody can just formulate a philosophy, an hypothesis, and just bring out a kind of doctrine, a theory, and propound it from the pulpit. And because people are lazy to go and cross-check the word of God, they begin to carry it along. This is a new thing. Now they become like poor Athens. Yes, there's a new revelation. Many things people call revelation are just philosophy. Just manipulation of the world with the fancy of man to tinkle your ear. And once you hear that, you begin to clap. It's a new revelation. At the end of the day, it does not really contribute to grooming your life. Benchmark your training with the start. Don't respect your teacher to the extent that you cannot subject whatever you say to the test of the word of God. The moment you respect your teacher or your mentor to the level that whatever he says you cannot benchmark it with the word of God, then you are going to error. Is it number four now or number three? Is it four or three now? Now, number four. Cross-check the company of your mentor or trainer. And beware of lone rangers. You must cross-check. What company does your teacher, your mentor, your tell? Who are his friends? Who are his own mentors? Who train him? And let me tell you, this is not a marriage seminar. Young men, young women, you want to marry somebody, find out who is or her mentor. Who is the person that trained him or her? I can tell, I'm happy, I am bold, I'm going to tell you that you ask who trained me. I was trained in Soul Lavesta Evangelical Church. And if you're in doubt, go and check the profile of Reverend Madego. And I can tell you who trained my wife, Evangelista Ray Matthew. I'm giving for free. You don't need to go and Google it. Because you may not find it on Google. So find out. See, part of the problem that many people have when they get married is that they marry people who don't have mentors. You have many people who cannot train their root. That is their mentor, this is their trainer. And there's a problem. Before you go to, when you know who trained this person, you know the kind of challenge you are likely to face. So if you go to submit for a training under a mountain, find out who is the mentor of that person that is training you. Who are the kind of friends that he calls his friends, the company he keeps, that will likely give you a picture whether it's a place where you can receive the kind of training that you require. You don't just jump into a place and not put your whole life into it without actually knowing whether the source is good or bad. You only see the surface. See, there are so many things that goes on behind the scene. If the only thing you depend on is just the outward performance, and you don't know the roots, you have not gotten the full story. Find out, make effort to know who are the companies of your, who are the company that he keeps. And beware of lone ranger. Somebody say, no, I don't have a father, I don't have a mother. It's God that has made me run away with such a man. If any man of God, if any mentor will tell you that he has been so made, so poor that he has no mentor, he has no trainer, then I'm not sure that such a person is qualified to actually train anybody. So beware of lone rangers. Somebody just come up and say he has a new anointing, he has a new revelation, and you are following him. And there's nobody you can really see in his circle. Say, no, my own level of anointing is greater than them. I can't. No, this one is a New Testament apostolic anointing. You cannot find it in the New Testament Bible because the New Testament is old. This is a testament that's not written in letter, but it's written in the spirit. It's angel that speaks to me. New anointing ministry. So you don't go and submit under a trainer who has no mentor, and it's a low ranger. If you cannot benchmark those who are around him, those who are in the circle of his friend, then you need to begin to put a question mark. And number five, I want to say quickly that you must train where the vision is big. The challenges are huge and there's opportunity for growth. What did I say? Train where the vision is big. The challenges are huge and there's opportunity for growth. Three things are important. What's the vision of the place where you are being taught, where you are being trained? Is it a vision that is big enough that your vision can be filled within that vision? I've always told people that if anybody will find his vision within a big vision, then the vision must be big enough that your own vision can be fulfilled. Otherwise, take a walk. And I want to say clearly, if anybody will train under Cedar, if anybody is under Cedar, you have to be sure that in staying under Cedar, your vision can be fulfilled within the bigger vision of Cedar. Otherwise, take a walk. Yes, I want members in this church. Yes, I want number to increase. But it will not do you any good if you are under this vision, under this ministry, and your vision cannot be fulfilled within the big vision of the ministry. That will be a problem. So train where the vision is big to accommodate your own vision. Train where the challenges are huge, not just when everything's already made. You don't need to make any contribution. And that's the problem with many of our people, many of our young people today. They want to go to where everything is set. No challenges. And where you can have opportunities to grow. I pity people today when I see 17, 18-year-old boys calling themselves Papa. They bring God a congregation, they give them Indomie and top you up with ordinary milk and push them what to the world to go and face the go and crack rock. Train where the vision is big, where the challenges are huge, and where there's opportunity for growth. Otherwise, you will not be able to go far. You must ask yourself, is the vision, is it big enough that I can find an expression? Number two, are there challenges that I myself can take on? Because in the midst of challenge that growth comes, in the midst of challenge that you will develop expertise, in the midst of challenge that you receive anointing, when there is no challenge, there's no, you don't need anointing now. If there are no problem, why do you need solution? The bigger the challenge, the greater the grace that will be released. But when you are in a place where there are no challenges, then there's nothing. Somebody was telling me recently, he said he went to a church and he got there. He found out everything, just said he would just be there. There's nothing he needed to contribute in that place. Said it was a very big church. And now went to he left and went to a very smaller church. There were fewer, but there were a lot of grounds to be covered. I felt that this is place he can say you have made the right choice. Because where that place, it was easy for him to hide. Don't come to a church and you just hide. Please, I'm appealing to those of you just come to see that. And you only just sneak in and you sneak out. Whether you are here and you are not here, we don't feel your absence. That's not a way to be trained. That's not the way to grow. You should make yourself relevant that if you are not in the church, people should know you are not here. If I am not in the church and members of the church do not know whether I'm around or not, then I should just resign as the pastor. Do you agree with me? No, honestly, if I'm not in this church and no member of the church feels my absence, then I should just resign as the pastor. It means I'm not touching anybody. If you are in a unit and you are away for 2 weeks and that unit does not feel your absence, nobody can say, we miss you. Then go and look for another unit to serve. Your service is not required in that unit. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that individuals are all in all. But what I'm saying is that your part, let me tell you, everybody in this world has a unique role. The role that I play, no matter how close my wife is, my wife cannot play that role. The role that my wife plays, no matter I say I'm the head of the family, I can't play that role. The moment I can combine the role of my wife with myself conveniently, without any stress, and without any hassle, then I don't need a wife again. And the moment she can combine her role with my role as a husband and father, without feeling any stress, well, then she doesn't need a husband. So, what am I saying? Always make sure that you are in a place where you can deal with challenges that can give you opportunity to grow. And finally, before I close, I want to say your trainer or your mentor must see farther than you. That was say that, see, baby should not be grooming babies. If you go to the book of Luke, chapter 22, I'm going to read that, Luke chapter 22, verse 31 to 34. Your mentor, your teacher, or your trainee is where must see farther than you. Luke chapter 20, verse 30, I'm going to read verse 31 to 34. Look at what happened here to Peter. And the Lord said, Simon, let's start from verse 31. And the Lord says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan had desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Verse 32. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Look at Peter in his character. I say, he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both into prison and death. Who said? Big lie. But that was the thought. They were clapping behind Jesus. They were hailing him. They were saying, we're ready to go with you extra mile. But just so farther ahead. He knew what would befall them. He knew that they are not yet mature. See, at times when you see some people, they think they have received grace, you see anointing. Say, no, Pastor, what you are saying? Maybe you, God has told me something. I also have God. As far as Peter was concerned here, this was his conviction, and he wasn't telling a lie. Am I right? Was Peter telling a lie? No, Peter was not lying, but that was his level of revelation, level of his growth, level of understanding. But his teacher had better understanding. And he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you, both into prison and to death. And look at verse 34. And he said, I tell you, Peter, he just said, young man, sit down. Just patted on the shoulder. Say, young man, I tell you something. The cock shall not crow this day. It's not even tomorrow. It's not next year. It's not next month. The day that Peter was boasting, there was a big test. It was Fashola that said, may our loyalty not be tested. But there's no way your loyalty will not be tested. It's not biblical. Now, that day, he was to face a big test, but he didn't know. That same day, he said, the cock shall not crow this day before you will shall thrice deny that you know me. Not even follow me, but that you even know me. No, that's a very great thing. That before the cock will crow today, not only once, not twice, three times you will deny that you ever know me. Did not come to pass? And when it came to pass, and that's thank God that Jesus spoke this to Peter. And the moment it came to pass, Peter remembered the word of the Lord. And he broke down in tears. And he repented. So, but when you have teachers who cannot see your father, and is whatever you tell your teacher that your teacher believes, then both of you are sparring partners. You must be under a mentor, a training institution that can see farther than you are. It does not matter the amount of anointing, the grace and revelation you have. But this institution where you are training must always see ahead. Have a broader vision. Add a bigger view. Add something that can make you to reconsider whatever you think, the position you hold. Otherwise, you have come to a place where you cannot grow. Otherwise, you have come to a place where you are going to plateau. You know what it means to plateau? To plateau, you have to be at a stand still. So this morning, as I round out this message, I've told you about the essence of training. I've told you the need to be tested. I told you the need to be trusted. And I've rounded up by telling you the things you need to know if you want to build a success story. But finally, I want to round up with the promise of God. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. That's what we're going to read, and I'm going to pray. Jeremiah 20, verse 11. And it says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord, the thought of peace and not of evil, to give you unexpected hand. Let me speak to you this morning, young men and women, brothers and sisters. God has a great thought towards you. It's the thought of peace and not of evil. To give you what? Expected hand. As long as you come into covenant with God, as long as you come into relationship with God, let me assure you that the Lord will bring you to expect a hand. I prophesy into your life this morning. It does not matter what you are passing through. It does not matter what your story now. It does not matter what are the challenges. But as the Lord liveth, he will bring you to an expected end. In the mighty name of Jesus. Let nobody be disillusioned. Let nobody be discouraged by what you are seeing today. Because tomorrow, the Lord will open the door of expected end unto you, the mighty name of Jesus. Make sure you follow the right path. Make sure you go to proper mentorship. Make sure you build trust. Make sure as you go along, as I told you, make huge deposit into the emotional banks of people who train you, who mentors you, who you work with along the line, so that at the end of the Lord, Lord will erect a platform for you. But this morning, I want you to know that I don't know what is your trepidation, what are your challenges this morning. We have the assurance that God will bring you to expect. It's just a matter of time. You are a celebrity that is waiting to be celebrated. And your name and your glory shall be lifted up by the Most High God, because he has promised to give you a expected end. Can you stand on your feet? I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day.
Still praying as I always.
Before I pray to round up this message, I want you to just focus on God and focus on that word that says, behold, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. This is God speaking to you. This word of promise, this word of confidence, this word of encouragement. I know the thoughts. Many people may have negative thoughts about you. Your friend may have a different thought about you, that you are good for nothing. Your parent may have another thought about you, that they are not sure what will come out of your life. The society may have another thought about you. But God said, "Hi, God of Israel, I know the thought I am thinking towards you. And this thought is thought of peace and not of evil to give you respect." Can you speak to God now this morning? That let your thoughts regarding my life come to pass in the mighty name of Jesus. Can you begin to speak? Can you begin to pray? That the thought of God for your life, the purpose and the counsel of God for your life, the will of God for your life, that God will cause to come to pass. It does not matter what people say. It does not matter what people think. It does not matter what people do. But it's only what God proposed. Begin to ask and begin to pray this morning. Every obstacle, every challenge that the enemy is erecting in the way of purpose for your life, begin to pray that God will begin to crumble them. God will begin to remove them. God will begin to crush them. That the thought of God, that the plan of God, the purpose of God For your life shall come to pass in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Man satalaba. Runda kakaka sampaligo. Baka sampaligo shipuko shipuko shipuko. Baka skapa papa. Broko koko sampuko shipaliga. Ra anta taliba suntoligo. Makurumoko sumpo shimpuko shimpuko shimpoliga gas kampaliga. Makuri mamaka santaliba. Because he lives, I can face
tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know.
Share this revelation with you. The Lord gave a vision of somebody, face was not shown, who was decorated with a gold medal. And the gold medal was placed on a white, you know, white background, on the white cloth on the neck. I want to pray this. I don't know whether you are that person. I don't know who the person is, whether male or female. But somebody with a gold medal on the neck, wearing a white cloth, begin to ask that God will decorate your life with glory. But after that, I'm just going to pray to round all the prayer that, Lord, decorate my life. Decorate my feet. It doesn't matter. You might be wearing rags now, physically or spiritually. But God wants to take that garment of dishonor, that garment of shame, that garment of weeping, that garment of stagnation, that garment of retrogression, that garment of sin, and the Lord will decorate you with a medal of gold. Begin to ask God, God, this is my your mercy. Decorate my light with success, with glory, with grace. Begin to ask. Begin to pray. Man satalaba ruonto sibaba ra andakuska ibe soboboska andalia ra andakusko boboska ambali baba sandalaga. In the mighty name of Jesus, lift your hands unto the Lord. Heavenly Father, you have led me to take this series in four parts. And because today is the concluding part, Lord, I ask and I pray that you crown the lives, the efforts of your people with the crown of success in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. If there's anyone that the enemy has destined to fail, if there's anyone that the enemy has destined to frustrate, if there's anyone that the enemy has destined to pull down, by the reason we are not in this morning, Let such a person receive a lifting in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
If there's any purpose, any vision, any dream in the life of anyone that the enemy has proposed to abort, today, by the reason of going through this series, I pray, oh Lord my God, no more abortion or vision or purpose in the lives of your people, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, today, let the host of heaven withstand every enemy, every force, every agent of darkness that is trying to withstand, to withhold, to delay the purpose and the counsel of you for your people, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Oh Lord my God, let the power that holds the heaven and the earth release your people into their destiny, in the mighty name of Jesus. My Father and my God, God of Israel, let the invisible hand of God release your people into their land of promise, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
I rebuke failure in your life.
Amen.
I rebuke the spirit of error in your life.
Amen.
I say the Lord will celebrate you.
Amen.
The world will celebrate you.
Amen.
All of you will emerge as celebrities.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, we thank you. Father, we bless your name. In Jesus' name we are praying.